Of God's Word, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be starting in verse 14, and we're going to continue the series that Brother Jeff started the last couple of weeks about parables in the Bible, which is kind of some of my favorite topics right here. So he did give me a challenging one, I think. You know, a lot of times we hear about the parable of the talents, and we kind of read over it real quick. It's a real short passage of Scripture, 16 verses, but there's a lot in there. So I want to start off this morning again by rereading what Brother Gerald read this morning. We're going to start off in verse 14. If you would stand with me while we read this passage. In verse 14 it says, "For it is just like a man going on a journey. He called his own slaves and turned over his possessions to them. To one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately the man who had received five talents went and put them to work and earned five more. In the same way, the man with two earned two more. But the man who had received one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we open your word today, God, I pray that you just give us a crystal clear picture of what it means to follow you and to give back the talents that you've given us. God, as we open your word, we pray that you would just empty me, God, and I pray that you give me the words to speak, and I pray that you would just open the hearts of each one of the people who are here today that are listening. God, we love you, and we thank you for all that you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, when we read this thing right here, we read this first couple passages, we hear the word talent. And so a lot of times we hear the word talent, and we know what we think of when we think of talent. A lot of times we might think of Brother Glenn getting up here and singing and playing guitar, or Miss Lisa on the piano, or any type of musical talent. We think of sports. You know, whenever we watch basketball and football, you see these guys with elite amount of talent. And a lot of times we look at them when we marvel, and a lot of times we wish to ourselves, man, I wish I had that type of ability. I wish I had that type of talent. And so as we're opening up the word today, this talent right here is very specific to a monetary talent. So whenever studying what a talent was, basically it's a coin, it's a piece of money. And the value is pretty significant. When we hear that, you know, Jesus gave one talent to the lazy servant, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, and the other ones he gave two and five, we kind of think, well, he didn't get very much. He got one talent. But actually, the talent was very valuable. Matter of fact, it's worth about 6,000 days' wages, which if we put it in our economic standards today, a talent would be $1.4 million. So what Jesus gave this guy was not just a little, here you go with this one. He gave him quite a bit, and he gave all of them quite a bit, but it also said he gave to his own ability. So as we're reading today, I'd also like you to think about the picture that Jesus is trying to paint right here. What Jesus is telling them is he's really prophesying about his second coming. The man on the journey is Jesus, and Jesus knows that he's preparing his disciples, and he's about to go off for a long time, and so he's telling them what's to come right here. So whenever he gives them all that he has, this is Jesus to his disciples and to each and every one of us. And he's telling us that he's going to give us this journey. But he also says that he will return again. And thank God that we know that Jesus is coming back. So as we're studying through this, I want you to think about that picture that, you know, we're anxiously waiting Jesus' return. So I want to talk first about, we're going to skip first a couple verses, and we're going to look at the lazy slave. And so sometimes when we read the parable of the talents and the lazy slave and the faithful slave, we mistakenly think this lazy slave is a true Christian, and I don't believe he is. I believe this is what I would call a false disciple, and we're going to find out why that is so. So let's skip over to verse, let's see, verse 24. It says, "The man who had received one talent approached and said, 'Master, I know you. I know you are a difficult man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. And look, you have what is yours.'" And so by his own admission right here, he's saying that he knows the master. He's saying that he knows who God is. He knows who Jesus is. But then the next several verses, he proves that he doesn't truly know who Jesus is. He thinks he knows. And so a lot of times if we're out in the world, we hear a lot about people and their theology and what they think about God. And a lot of times you hear statements about God that simply just aren't true. And so whenever we dissect what he says, we find out this man just claims to have a knowledge, but he does not actually know who Jesus is. I don't believe he's a true follower of Jesus. And so the reason I say this is because his first thing after he says, "I know you," he says, "You're a difficult man." See, the world will try to make a lot of accusations about God. They'll try to say that he's unjust, he's unfair, he's unloving. And this isn't just out in the world. This is the church that says this sometimes. Even if you go back in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were always forgetting who God was, rebelling against his promises. In the book of Ezekiel, they say one time that the Lord's way isn't fair. And then Ezekiel came to God's defense and told him all the things how God is fair and how God is love. The problem is, though, whenever you have an inaccurate view of God, it's hard to follow God. And so whenever he was handed this talent because of his disobedient heart and his lack of understanding of who God really was, then he had a response. And so his response was to go hide the talent. And so in the world, we see this all the time. We see people all the time not using their talents. They hide it in all these things. A lot of times we'll see it in sports. You might have a good college football player, basketball player, who kind of just got in this trouble and just kind of, we say, wasted his talent away. But it's also true in our daily lives. We see these people who come up and they have all these God-given abilities, and yet they use it to fill their own desires and their own lusts. We see them take the wrong road. And so they go off and they hide that talent. But it's also true of people in the church. You know, there are a lot of people who have a lot of God-given ability who hide that. And you ask, where do they hide it? Well, I think a lot of people come into the church and they'll find a good pew and they'll start digging a hole in their pew and they'll bury their talent in the pew and they think they're doing okay. It's really not okay. The fact that God had given this man all this ability to go and do something with it. But the thing was, he looked at God, he looked at the picture of God and what he thought God to be, and it was inaccurate, so he didn't love God. And then also, he looked at the weight of the talent. You know, also, when we talk about the monetary, like the gold coins and different stuff, it actually was very heavy. It weighed between 100 to 130 pounds. And so just the idea of carrying around this weight, you know, he's lazy. He doesn't want to do that. And a lot of times, that's what people are in this world. They're lazy. They see the work before them. They see the weight of the money. They see the weight of the talent. And it's too much of a burden that they can't bear, and they don't want to bear it. And so they go ahead and they dig it in the ground. And so, you know, when we look at the picture of this guy, you know, again, the inaccurate view of God, he sees the weight of the challenge. And so, you know, he doesn't do anything bad. Some people look at this and say, well, you know, it's not like the Bible doesn't say right here that he went off sinning and doing all these different things. He wasn't, doesn't name anything specifically that he sinned. It just says that he went off and hid the talent. And then later on, we see that God calls him an evil and lazy slave. It's like, well, how do you say he's evil? And the reason he's evil is because of this. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17, it says, so it is a sin for a person who knows to do what is good and doesn't do that. So a lot of times in our lives, we kind of weigh ourselves like good and bad. Like, well, I'm not a bad person. I haven't committed a crime. I haven't stole. I haven't got a ticket in a while. I try to obey the speed limit. I do all these things. And so we think about the things that we don't do. The fact of the matter is, the sin of omission weighs us down. The fact that there are so many things that we know we're supposed to do. How many times do we feel like God just taps us on the shoulder and says, hey, you need to do this, and we resist that? We kind of give him the pull away. I don't want to hear that right now. That's too much. I don't have the ability, and all these things. We make all these excuses and not to do what is right. Also, in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, it also says, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. And so starting at the beginning, if you don't know who God is, you might be a person who lives your whole life going out and feeding orphans, going on the mission field, rebuilding homes, helping people when it floods, and do this long list of stuff. But if it's not done in faith for God, the Bible says it's sin. So you're stacking up this pile. And so we see that this lazy slave with his inaccurate view of God, he is doing nothing. He is ineffective when God had so many different plans for him. You know, when Jesus, right here, he's the man who's going on a journey, the Bible says he gave him to his own ability. He knew what he was capable of. God does not give us anything. He doesn't challenge us with anything where he doesn't give us the tools to do so. But there's a rejection right here. We see that he's openly rejecting Jesus and his message right here. And so, you know, the sad part about this story is whenever at the end of the story, we have to realize this is Jesus prophesying of his second coming. And so this is prophesying of the judgment. So after the slave's life, you know, there's going to be a conviction. And the conviction is this, and it's found in verse 26. He says, but his master replied to him, you evil, lazy slave, if you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then why didn't you at least deposit my money with the bankers? And when I returned, I would have received my money back with interest. And so we see here, he said, if you'd have done anything, if you'd have had the faith and trusted me and just just done anything, taken a step. You didn't have to set the world on fire, but if you in faith would took just a step, we wouldn't have just dug a hole and buried the talent. If you'd have done anything for me, that faith would have saved you. But he had no faith. And so this is the sentence in verse 28. He says, so take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and we have more than enough. But for the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And throw that good-for-nothing slave into outer darkness, and the place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we see right here, there's a very serious penalty for what's going on. And this is something that's not preached on very often in America because people like to hear happy sermons. But I'm here to tell you today, if we don't understand what happens to people who don't trust in God and don't put their faith, there is an actual place called hell. And there's a place where it's called weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a place of torment and punishment. And the worst part is the separation from God, where there's no love, when there's no hope. See, God, Jesus gave this man talents in order that he might come to a knowledge of him and that he would grow and tell others, because Jesus doesn't want anyone to go to this place. But yet, whenever you choose to bury your talents, when you choose to reject God and say, that's not for me, I'm going to do it my way, just like this guy did, when you choose to live your life in your own fashion and you don't put God first, there's a place that you go. And so it has to be spoken, it has to be known that whenever we see people living a life when they're not using their talents, we're guilty of sending those people to a place of torment. We're guilty of not loving people enough to say, hey, you have talent. God has given you this. God loved you so much that you need to know him and have a relationship with him. Because if not, this is where you get to go. This is not a place where anyone wants to go. So we have to always remember that, the fact that when we see people who are spending away their talents and their abilities, even if we haven't recognized what that talent is, it's not our job, but it is our job to call them to repentance and to be able to know who God is. But thank God there were a couple guys who did what was the right thing. And we'll read about that in verse 19. It says, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled the accounts with them. And the man who had received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, master, you gave me 5 talents. Look, I have earned 5 more. And so we see right here that this disciple right here called God by the same name, master. They both did, but there's a difference whenever he says it. Whenever the false disciple, whenever the lazy servant called him master, it was just a position of this is who he is, and he just recognized the title. But whenever this man says master, there's a lot more affection and there's a lot more understanding, because instead of an accusation following that, there's an acknowledgement of what he did. And so we see a couple of verses earlier that whenever Jesus had given the talents, the Bible says that immediately the man who had received 5 talents went and put them to work. And so when we're Christians, when we come to the relationship where we trust in God and we put our faith in what Christ did for us on the cross, we should have an immediate reaction. There should be a change. The Bible says that immediately he took his gifts and he went and put them to work. And so in our lives, we have to ask ourselves, are we immediately following Jesus? Whenever we were saved, did we immediately follow in baptism? Did we immediately start learning as much about this Bible as we could? Did we immediately change our prayer life? Did we start loving people? Was there an immediate change? We need to ask ourselves that, because if we truly love God and we understand who he is, then it should be quick. You know, a little story about my family, you know, sometimes I like to sit on the couch and ask the kids to go do stuff for me. Sometimes it's because I might be a little bit lazy, but sometimes I just want to teach them, you know, a lesson, work, a little work ethic. So one day I was sitting on the couch and I was finishing up some cookies or something. I don't know what it was. And I wanted a little bit more milk. So I hollered in the house, whoever loves me the most, I need a glass of milk. And all of a sudden I just heard all kind of steps just running fast to the kitchen. And you can hear there's a big commotion and everything. And so they're fighting over the glass, they're trying to get to the milk and everything, and then I hear them all running back. And wouldn't you know, the very first person who made it back to the couch was Cindy. And so that showed me that she loved me the most, and she wanted to prove it. Even in a silly moment like that, immediately she got up and she proved her love. She beat the kids. She probably knocked a couple of them down, but very competitive in the Sonya house. You gotta fight for everything. But my heart was overwhelmed, honestly. I mean, it was just like, man, you know, even if something so simple, my wife showed how much she loved me. And that's what God's looking for. You know, as we read this, we've got to be careful to realize that God's not looking in a works type of salvation.
but it's the response and why we respond the way we respond. The fact that if we love somebody so much that we understand who he is and what he did for us, why wouldn't we give? Why wouldn't we immediately respond and show him how much we love? And we see this in what his faith is when he says, "You gave." This was the response of the first servant. He says, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. What all has God given us? He's given us a lot. He's given us eternal life. He's given us hope. He's given us joy. He's given us his son. God didn't hold anything back. You know, let us not mistake just this quantity and say that we're limited in what we have. We're not limited. And for God to give this man that means he gave all of his resources. He spread it out amongst all of us. God freely gave everything that he had. It says it earlier. He says that he turned over his possessions to them. That means everything that good that God has, he has given it to us. And he's given us the ability to use that for his kingdom. So if we love him, why wouldn't we realize if he gave everything, he didn't hold anything back? And so we shouldn't hold anything back. And I'm telling you that today, and it's not an easy thing. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about tithing, and at first it could be very difficult. You know, you got to break through that wall, but after a while, it becomes natural, it becomes a part of your life, and you see how God richly blesses you in all things. And that's using a talent. You know, that's part of that possession right here. God gives us all that he gives us. In this country, even the poorest of us are pretty rich compared to other people. We have nothing that we're ever in need of. Sometimes we might want some more things, but we have no need of anything. So God gives us the ability to freely give that back. You know, God gives some of you the ability to make friends like this. Some of you can walk in and you never met a stranger. You can just make a friend easily. We need to use that opportunity to be able to make the friends and also be able to point them back to Jesus and show them a lifestyle that represents who we are. You know, when we're out in the world, our talent should show and people should see the love of God on us. We don't have to tap them on the shoulder. I've said it before. You don't have to tap them on the shoulder and say, "Hey, I'm a Christian." But by our lives, it should be evident. They should see us doing the work of Jesus. They should see us earning more talents. You know, God gave us all this. We should see fruit. You know, if we have a fruit tree that we plant and never produces fruit, we're going to cut it down because it does us no good. And so we have the obligation to produce fruit. We have the obligation to multiply these talents. And so also we see here that whenever the disciples, they looked at the weight of it, it was light. You know, the first disciple, he looked at the weight of it and saw that 130 pounds and saw that it was heavy. But this disciple didn't worry about the weight. He didn't worry about the burden. He didn't worry about any of that. He just immediately followed God. And we see this, what Jesus says about this weight and this yoke. He says in Matthew 11:29, he says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls." So Jesus knew what it meant to do work. He understood whenever the term yoke, you know, it's taking the yoke off the oxen. They were plowing. They were always working. They were always doing something. So Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you," and realize that once you start getting to work, you're not doing the labor. I'm going to be right there beside. I'm going to be the one pulling alongside of you. And all of a sudden, what you thought was heavy and what you thought was burdensome is no longer burdensome. We realize that, you know, a lot of times our pride gets in the way of using our talents and our ability. But Jesus said right here, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and your soul shall find rest." And so don't worry about the future. You know, a lot of times we worry about, well, if I start this, what's going to happen? What are the negative results and all these different things that can come with it? You know, it's tough. I was talking with Cindy the other day. It's a burden sometimes when you think about it to try to be in a leadership position of any kind. And it's a challenge to each and every one of us. Just because I come up on the pulpit and preach, we all should be preaching out in the world. But I'm not going to lie, at times whenever I'm stepping away from God and I'm not setting my eyes on him and I'm focusing on Eric, I start to fail. I was talking with my dad a couple of days ago, and I was like, I don't want to preach this Sunday. You know, it's tough, you know, and all these different things. But again, I was letting a whole lot of things in the world take my focus away from God. And then, you know, I was talking with Cindy, and I talked with Miss Tanya at the gym, and she was just telling me her conversation with my dad. And it just encouraged me that people are here to support me. And there are people here to support you. And so the number one support system is through God. And so when we take our eyes off of him, we're focusing on all this burden and the weight of the talent and all these things. Remember, I don't have to bear the weight. I don't have to do all the heavy lifting. I hand that over to God. And whenever I pray to God and I confess that sinfulness of, you know, I'm trying to do it on my own again, God, I need your help and I need your reassurance and I need you to take this upon you and make it light for me again. And in every single time I've ever prayed that prayer, he's been faithful to do that. And it gives me the confidence that I need to go out into this world and to stand up here and preach the gospel and to encourage you to preach the gospel. And that's what we need. We need the body of believers. And we know that God's wanted us to do this in parish because he also has this other guy, the one that with two. He did the same thing. And no doubt he saw the guy with five talents. He was out there doing it. You know, he had a bigger burden. And so don't ever feel like just because you see somebody with more talent and doing something else that God isn't just as satisfied with what you are. God understands our abilities. He gave each and every one of us our abilities. It says in, let's see here, I got to find my verse. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." So we got to understand that we're created by God. We're his handiwork. He didn't make a mistake. Whenever we, you know, when I was growing up, I always wish I could be a singer. I always wanted to be a guy, get up and sing. Ain't going to happen. Some of those heard me in VBS try to sing it. It's not pretty. But you got to understand, that's not my gift. It's not my talent. So don't be envious of the person who has five talents. Don't be envious of the person that has three or four. You know, if God's only giving you one or two talents, be faithful with those talents. Just as this guy was. He went out with his two talents, and he produced two more talents. And so, again, the same as the lazy slave, there's a judgment at the end of this life, even for the faithful servants. And this is what God told the first servant. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things, sharing your master's joy." And then again, he told the second one, the one with two talents, the same exact thing. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in your master's joy." So you see, God isn't interested in the works category. It's the heart that he was worried about. Both of them shared the same heart. They acknowledged who God was. "You gave me all my talents. You gave me life. You gave me breath. You gave me everything on this life. And not only that, you paid away for my sin. You paid my sin debt. You love me so much that you did all the work on the cross of Calvary. You did that to take away my sin. And not only that, not only did you just take away my sin, but you gave me all these resources. You gave me all this ability. You gave me everything I need to live this Christian life." And so they were faithful. And no doubt there are times in these two's lives where they failed, where there was sin. But the fact of the matter is that they kept on and they plugged away and they did what God wanted them to do. And so I don't know about you, but whenever I stand before God in the judgment, I want him to look at me. I want him to say, "Eric, well done, thou good and faithful servant." I mean, that should be the goal of us. You know, whenever we put our eyes on the eternal and we realize that one day we will stand before God and we will give account for this life, we understand that, then all these things that we see here on earth kind of just fade away. All these struggles that we have, even the good things that we have. You know, the trucks don't seem so good, the boats, you know, the vacations, those are all good stuff, but it doesn't seem as important anymore. The ability to take our talents and use them on other people instead of ourselves becomes more important to us. God blesses us. The more faithful we are with our talents and our abilities, the more that he increases that. And I firmly believe that the more faithful you are, the more he'll put in front of you. He'll put that workload, but again, don't have to worry about it because he's going to help you with it. You know, he never put us out here to be alone. He is our comforter. He is our brother. He's our strength. He sent the comforter. And when Jesus left, you know, in a couple days after he tells this disciple that, he says, "I'll send you a comforter, and he'll give you everything that you need to say." And so don't worry about what comes tomorrow. Don't worry about the challenges. Worry about what God is going to do for you. And again, he said to share in the master's joy. God so much desires to have joy with us. You know, he had heaven. He created all of us so we could be there with him. He wants to share in everything he has. He wants to share in the master's joy. That means he has everything set up for us. But he gives it to you, and it's that faith. Never confuse this parable right here like many do with thinking that you have to earn your salvation. The Bible says, "By grace you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast." So I'm not going to boast the fact that God's given me two talents and given this other guy five or any of that. But I will brag on what God has done for me in my life and how he continues to enable me to use the talents, to use the gifts, that way his glory and his majesty will be displayed. Because that's what it's all about. So if you're here today and you have done what the first talent, or the first guy with one talent done, if you just come to church every Sunday and you continue to sit on your buried treasure, I challenge you today to get that right with God. I challenge you to make sure that you have a relationship. If you sat here for the last, I don't know how many years, and just sat on your talent and never followed Jesus in any kind of way, you've never, the Bible says immediately they went and started using it. If you've never used a talent, if you've never shared, if you've never done anything, I challenge you to do a self-evaluation and realize, do you truly know who God is? Because I believe people miss heaven by 18 inches from here to here. You can know the historical figure of Jesus, know all about him, believe he died on the cross, but until you believe and accept what he did on the cross and take that and receive it, and then works will follow. The faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. So if you've never produced, then do you just have a head knowledge or do you have a heart knowledge? And God will show you that. And I pray that you would just ask him to open your eyes to that. And then for some of us who have truly been saved and truly done the works, but right now, kind of like me this past week, we've taken our eyes off of God and we're not using our abilities to the fullest. I pray that we would just cast all the cares and any barriers or blocks that are separating us from doing what we're called to do. We're going to have an opportunity here at the altar in a couple minutes. I pray you just lay it down at the altar. You know, again, we talk about the response. You know, Jesus gave these guys a challenge, and there's always a response that follows. And if you don't give a response, then no response is a response, and that's choosing not to follow him. So in a minute, whenever we bow our head and close our eyes and I pray, whenever the altar time comes, this is an important time. This isn't just this order of business in a church service where some people come to the altar. This is the place where we confess before God and before our brothers and sisters that, hey, I need to get things right. And I'm not ashamed of that. When we get baptized, it's the declaration that I'm not ashamed of what God's done in my life. We've all struggled. And so this place right here is a place where God will honor you, and he'll meet you at the altar, and you can get things right with him. And so I would ask everyone right now to bow their head and close their eyes. And again, I would ask you to just look in your own heart, not judge anyone else by what they've done, but look in your own heart and ask yourself, do I truly know this master? Do I know who Jesus is? Or do I have just heard about him? I pray that today, dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would just take the blinders off the ones here, God, who've been faking it for a long time, God. God, in their heart of hearts, they know that they've been sitting on their talents and they've hidden it. And God, they're holding on for dear life because, God, they may be scared of what their future may hold. But God, I pray today that they would just cast all their fears and their cares on you, God. And they would make the decision to faithfully walk and to immediately follow you and use what you have given them, God. God, you've given us everything. Everything that is needed, God. Through your Son and his sacrifice, God, he has made the way for us. We know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but by you. So, God, I pray today that if there's anyone in here who needs to get that right today, I pray today would be that day. And again, God, I pray for us in here who have been saved, God, and we've trusted in your promises, God, but we're not living the life that we should. God, we're holding back still. We're not using all the talents you've given us. So, God, I pray today that you will remove the fear, remove the apprehension, and let them know that the burden is light, God, and you would be faithful. God, there's a matter of all the kind of different things on each and every one of our hearts today, God. If there's a need for forgiveness, God, I pray that they would come. God, if there's just any unspoken need, God, today I pray that they would get that right with you, God, and you would meet their need. We love you, God. We're so thankful for all that you do. We're thankful that you made the way for this to be possible. For it's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.